My name is Dave Denniston. Welcome back to the latest episode of the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast. Well, my friends, I have been listening to quite a few other podcasts lately. There's one I listen to. It's focused on dentists. And what's fascinating to me as I listen, as I learn from these dental entrepreneurs, is how much they're just focused, laser-like, on having a steady stream of patients that they aren't just referrals from other clinicians. And for me, I really believe that the most financially successful physicians in the future are going to be those who are less reliant on reimbursements and they're more reliant on their own brand. And from what I've seen so far, these physicians that are on the cutting edge here, they seem to have far more control over their time and they have financial freedom. So today, my friends, I would like to empower you with information to help you do this. You are the captain of your ship. You are in control of your destiny. And our guest today, he has been focused on business development, and he's had a particular healthcare, a tech-generated focus throughout his whole career. As a matter of fact, he has been working in and around physicians for over a whole decade, and he's been seeing what is successful, what is not successful. And I thought what is really awesome about his current company is they are focused on patient acquisition. They're focused on reputation management and retention marketing specifically for physicians. So let's dive on in. I know we're going to learn a lot today. Please help me welcome Matt Pierce from Patient Pop. Welcome, Matt.
Thanks, Dave. Glad to be here.
All right, man. Well, let's kick this off. Tell us a bit about you and your journey. Where'd you grow up? Where'd you start off?
So, Dave, it's funny. I've kind of had the healthcare bug all of my life. My father's a dentist. I grew up spending some time at his office. Most summers I would convince him to let me come help with developing x-rays or carrying things to and from to help out some of his hygienists and making sure that everybody was staying on track. So I spent a lot of my summers growing up working in a dental practice and kind of got the bug, just really enjoyed being around that. That was, starting back in the mid-'80s. And I grew up in North Alabama, Decatur. Spent a little bit of time in Greenville, South Carolina. And as I started getting a little bit older, I kind of contemplated the path of becoming a doctor, and as I got into college, I realized, you know what, I'm not as excited about that as I am about technology. And I looked at what could I do in my future and in my career of trying to combine the two, right? Some experience and some understanding of healthcare practices and combining that in with a love for technology.
Let me just interrupt real quick. So I'm just picturing you growing up, running around your dad's office, looking at x-rays, doing all this stuff. Was tech that something your dad was really excited about too? Because I know a lot of dentists love the newest pieces of technology, the newest machines that are available.
You're exactly right. My dad was extremely forward-thinking. He was actually the first cosmetic dentist in the state of Alabama back in the early 90s and was teaching classes out in Las Vegas, an organization called the Las Vegas Institute, where he went out there, taught classes for a few years, would go out there and spend 2 or 3 weeks, and was really just into kind of being on the cutting edge. And, you know, and this was also back in the days when you carried around the bag phone, right? And so I always thought it was so cool. You got all these other guys that are just adopting the beeper technology, and my dad's got this bag phone that we would have in the car with us and would always beg him to let us make a call when we were on a trip somewhere. So he was. That was a big part of it, was not only understanding from spending some time, you're right, running around the office, sneaking in there, grabbing the little squirt guns that they used to rinse your mouth out and shooting my brothers with it, things like that, right? But as I got a little older and I started seeing some of the technology pieces of it and saying, man, this is so cool if you could put the two together.
And was marketing something that he did a lot of? Because, of course, that's what you're doing now, from what I understand, with Patient Pop.
Exactly. So the marketing component of it for my dad was really important. It was a big part of it. It was a I remember my dad telling me one time when I was young that the first impression you can make, and in most cases with potential customers, and in his case potential patients, that first impression you make can really either have somebody to continue down the rabbit hole and continue to try to learn more, or say, you know what, I'm not really interested. So he invested heavily in marketing, not only from a print advertisement perspective, but as he continued to grow and build his practice, he did radio talk shows. He actually had he moved out to Dallas, Texas, had a stint out there for a few years, and had a regularly scheduled talk show that he was a part of on the radio, just to talk about best practices in cosmetic dentistry and the value that it could bring to a patient, and the way that it could it could really increase your self-confidence and the way that you felt about yourself and things like that. So he kind of instilled in me a thought process and an ideology around the value of marketing.
And so tell us a little bit about this environment we're in today. And I know in dentistry, it's much the same. I don't know if your dad is still practicing or not, but you hear a lot of dentists talking about reimbursements declining and that kind of thing. What do you make out there, you know, in terms of, you think of your dad as a dentist and physicians. Tell us a little bit about the environment and what you see happening today.
Dave, you know, it's interesting. When I actually finished grad school and got into the working world, my first foray was into healthcare technology, and that was in June of 2005. So here I sit 11 years later, and as everyone listening to this realizes, the landscape today is completely different than it was a decade ago. And I could even go as far as saying there's a lot of things that are different than it was as recent as 4 or 5 years ago. This healthcare technology and healthcare in general just continually evolving. And the biggest shift that we're seeing today is the shift from volume to value. And that is, as most people are aware, is the change from fee for service to a change to value-based care. And when you sit back and look at that and see that even as far as we've come, that is continuing to evolve and continuing to grow. And over the course of the next years, value-based care will be even more important than it is today.
What I think about, Matt, you know, when you say value-based care, to me, you know, I think of it's a lot around this outcome idea, right? You know, it's
exactly.
Show me that you're improving the patient. So maybe you want to break that down a little bit for physicians out there. You know, how is that being shown? How does that happen, even from a marketing perspective, as you think about that?
You're absolutely right, Dave. It really comes down to outcomes. And, you know, in the past, you know, you take a situation where in order for a physician to make it through his week, he's going to see, depending on his specialty, anywhere from 15, 25, 30 patients a day. I've seen some. I had a conversation with a physician last week who said he was seeing on average 35 to 40 patients a day. And when you look at that increase in volume, those doctors are spending, in their own personal opinions, from talking to me, they said, we're not spending enough time face-to-face. We're not spending enough time working on the root cause of what the issues are. One thing that I find really interesting, I read an article that was published back in 2009 it was in the Harvard Business Journal, and there was a stat in there that said 90% of healthcare costs are incurred by a patient in the last one-third of their lives. And 90% of that 90% are in the last year of their life alone. And there's a lot of things that you could read into that. The way that I read into that is that we have a very reactive healthcare system. And I've got to admit, in a lot of cases, I fall into that category where I'm not terribly proactive. I'm 35 years old. I'm fairly healthy. I don't wake up on a Monday morning and say, hey, you know what, I need to proactively schedule an appointment this week to go have my doctor check me out. What I tend to do is wait until I wake up on a Monday morning and go, you know, my throat's a little scratchy, seasons are changing, you know, the pollen may be coming out down here in Atlanta or something along those lines, and I say, I need to get on the phone or I need to get on the internet and I need to go find an open appointment time to go in and see my primary care physician or go in and see my allergist. and talk to them about some of these issues that I'm starting to have and see if I can catch them before they get too bad, right? And so we're seeing the shift from what I think this value-based care is doing is it's trying to make us look at health from a different perspective. It's making us think more proactively about providing the right tools, the right services, the right communication, the right plan in general for a patient to help improve their overall health status. So that's where when you look at this volume to value shift, it really is about physicians and in a lot of cases the payment model shifting towards providing better care, providing more quote-unquote accountable care that will allow these patients to see better outcomes.
Now, let's break this down a little bit in terms of this shift that I know a lot of physicians can relate to out there, because there's some talking about going into private practice. There's some that wanted to go into concierge medicine. There are some going the opposite direction. They can't take on some of the costs when they've been in private practice, and so they get acquired by a hospital system. So break it down a little bit for us in terms of the technology, because that's the side that you're involved in. What's going on there right now?
Well, so there's a couple of different things. Specifically looking at what we do at Patient Pop is we actually go out and help physicians create a digital marketing patient acquisition strategy. The way that we look at the market today is that most physicians take what we refer to as a piecemeal approach to their digital marketing and their online branding. And that piecemeal approach really means what they're doing is in order to provide a comprehensive offering, they have to go work with a couple of different vendors. They may work with one company who builds them a website. And in a lot of cases today, you'll find that the same company that builds a website isn't the same company that's going to go help you build an online search engine strategy. So you
right.
go partner with another company for that. And you talk to them about how can I try to organically, or in some cases, how can I pay you additional money to make me get to the front pages of Google and Bing and Yahoo. And when you look at those two pieces, that's kind of the front end. But then you go, well, what are other things I can do once the potential patient may identify me? How do I convert them into a new patient, a new customer? In order to do that, they may go work with a patient acquisition company, someone who enables you to show your appointment calendar, your schedule online so they can select their times and book an appointment. They may want to work with someone else to send out reminders to make sure they show up. And then ultimately, on the back end, what can we do to try to help build a better reputation online? And that may come in the form of surveys. And so when you look at that, what we've found in this market is that most providers are working with 3, 4, 5, 6 different companies, depending on how deep they want to go on their digital marketing strategy. And what we did at Patient Pop was say, well, what if we could build an all-in-one platform that allows a provider to come in and partner with us, and we'll take care of all those different components for them and when really easy to consume and easy to understand and quite frankly, really efficient to roll out in that type of platform.
So now, Matt, I have to imagine that, sorry to interrupt you real quick, but I have to imagine that there's someone listening out there right now, because I have an audience that are physicians that are in private practice, certainly it's part of the audience, and there are those that are working for the hospital systems. So if I'm here listening to this in my earbuds on my commute in the car, and if you're a physician that is working for a big hospital, they might be saying, oh, this sounds all nice and fine and dandy, but how does this apply to me?
No, it's a great question, Dave, and you're right. There is definitely a delineation between the independent practices and the owned or affiliated practices of health systems. What we really look at, though, is regardless of your ownership structure, regardless of how you're operating your business on a day-to-day basis, there's still value that we can bring to the table. Ultimately, whether you're owned or independent, you want to ensure that you're seeing a lot of patients, and you want to see that you're seeing the right kind of patients. And what we do is we actually come in and help you build a better brand for your practice. Now, in some cases, we have worked with organizations that are health systems where they say, hey, we have X number of providers that we own, and we have X number of providers that are affiliated with our health system, and we would like to go out and give you guys the opportunity as a company to go sell your product to each of these individual doctors. That has been something that we've done in the past. In most cases, however, what we're seeing is that it's a lot of the independent physicians who come in and say, what can I do to continue to compete with those types of organizations? So it's interesting for us because we kind of stand on the fence and say, hey, look, we ultimately want to help potential patients find the right doctor, regardless of whether that's an independent doctor or a doctor that has a practice that's owned by the health system. So we can kind of work with both sides of that fence.
Well, and I think perhaps, of course, a lot of this is an investment. It's an investment of time and money into these things. But maybe there's someone out there listening and they're thinking, they're tired of being in the hospital system. Maybe they want to go into concierge medicine. Maybe a system like this could be a great way to dip their toes in there and see if they can generate their own patients, since obviously their door isn't being rushed down, perhaps, and they're not getting as many referrals as when they're in the hospital system.
Absolutely. And you know, what we're seeing more and more today is hybrid practices. Guys who are still practicing in a fee-for-service model who say, I would like to shift my business more towards a concierge medicine style. And in the interim, as opposed to going out to my panel of, say, 2,500 patients and saying, hey, listen, guys, as of September 1st, I'm switching to concierge and you're going to pay me X amount of dollars per month and you're going to have unlimited access to me. How many of you are in? As opposed to going in and drawing a hard line in the sand saying, hey, what if I started approaching a subset of my patients? What if I started approaching a subset of potential patients and start to offer up this model where I can start to your point, dipping my toe in the water of concierge medicine. And so this hybrid model has been something that we've seen is fairly successful as it pertains to patient pop. Because one of the things that we do is we build out this modernized website and this search engine optimization strategy, our onboarding process, we have a customer success manager who sits down and very directly says, Doctor, what is your ideal patient profile? Who are you looking for? What types of procedures are you looking for? What types of illnesses do you typically treat? And how can we go out and help you build a strategy to widen the funnel, so to speak, and get more of those potential people coming to your website that can turn into new customers of yours?
Mm. Well, I totally see that and hear that. And one of my passions, of course, is helping doctors be financially independent. And for me, I really do believe building your own practice, doing some of the things that you were just referring to, is so important. And one of the things that's hard that I hear over and over again from physicians that listen in is they never got a business education. They never got a financial education while they were in medical school because they're so busy with all their training and then in residency. And when it comes to this marketing stuff, I would love to hear from you just a quick crash course on the terms, some of this marketing education that doctors should be aware of.
No, you're absolutely right, and it's something that we see often as well. It's very interesting for us, and in particular as our sales team goes out and we discuss opportunities with providers. You know, a lot of guys have learned over the course of the time that they've been running their business, and to your point, Dave, they're spending so much time seeing patients. They spent so much time in school learning how to provide the best health care possible, and there wasn't a requirement that they go and take business courses and that they go and learn about marketing. So when we sit down with doctors, we always talk to them about a couple of things, and these two or three are probably the most important. One is the simple fact that, and I would say this one is paramount. We usually lead with this. It's the fact that the front door to your business has moved online. And most people understand what that means, but it's very different than it was a decade ago when I started this industry. You know, people use the internet, right? But people weren't using it so much as, you know, hey, I'm looking for a new doctor. Let me go out and do a Google search for it. It was still a lot of word-of-mouth referrals and still going in and checking out the yellow pages and things of that nature, whereas today, very similar to the example I always give of if I were to go out to dinner tonight, and I live in Atlanta, so I'm going to pull up and I'm going to do a search for best dinner in Atlanta. Or if I want to be very specific, I may say best dinner in zip code 30319. And I'm going to look up and I'm going to see what those are, and then I'm going to go on and I'm going to click through TripAdvisor and Yelp and all these things, and I'm going to read what the top-rated restaurants are and what some of the feedback is. So for a doctor to kind of take themselves out of the way that they've always thought about patient acquisition and move into a position where they think people are now finding me, searching for me, and finding me online first, it's a very important thing to understand, because as we talked about earlier, building your brand can really make that great first impression, or can turn them into a in a different direction. So when we talk about the front door being online, the most important aspect of that is your search engine optimization and going out and ensuring that if someone's going to go in and do a search for, let's say, ENT in Minneapolis, Minnesota, or they're going to do a search for a rhinoplasty in Miami, or they're going to do a search for high-risk pregnancy in Lincoln, Nebraska, right? All of these different things that you want to ensure you have that search engine optimization strategy sound. And so an SEO strategy is really about trying to help build out key terms, so it's search terms and specific geographical locations for your practice. And if we can help build out a strong SEO strategy, more people will begin to find you. So Dave, that's the first one that we typically look at is SEO. The next one that we talk about is reputation management. And reputation management can actually kind of go hand in hand with SEO because it's, again, similarly to the same way we look at restaurants today, because people are so quick to pull out their phones or sit down in front of their laptop and start filling out surveys and give feedback. And what happens in most scenarios is someone will give negative feedback much more quickly than they will give positive feedback. So when you go out and you're trying to work on your online reputation management, it's really talking about websites like Yelp and Google+, websites like reputation.com, MD.com, Vitals, all of these websites that people will go and look for to find out what others think about you, what patients, people who have been coming to your practice think about your business, and ultimately you as a provider. So when you look at search engine optimization and reputation management, those two kind of go hand in hand. And then the third thing that we always talk about, and this is no surprise, and to be really frank, I don't necessarily think this is something that no one listening knows about, but it's just a different way for you to now think about it, and it's patient experience. And it's really not as simple as you think. Most people think patient experience, and they think of the time when it's the clinical interaction, the eyeball-to-eyeball doctor and patient in a room discussing the issues. And we really look at patient experiences as a full, kind of the full spectrum of care. And that full spectrum of care comes with the very first impression you make. And that first impression could be when someone does a search for high-risk pregnancy in Lincoln, Nebraska, and you pop up number one, organic search, and next to your name, under the Google Local 3-pack, you've got a 4.5-star rating. And that 4.5-star rating, when they see that, oh, that came from 27 people, I'm going to click on that because I want to see specifically what is it about this doctor that made you have such a great online reputation. That's where you have the first impression with a potential customer of yours, and it goes all the way through, not only through the doctor-patient interaction, but all the way through to the potential for them to follow up and actually complete a survey. And then actually working with them, what we kind of refer to as retention marketing, and sending out regular communications via email and text to talk about, hey, did you know that it's time for your annual checkup, or did you know that it's time for your mammogram? And there's things that we can do like that as part of this platform that really are going to create an all-inclusive patient experience.
Well, this is something I think in the dental world that dentists traditionally have had to do. Think of your dad, for example, that you've had to know the numbers. So the online search, the reputation management, the patient experience, those are all things that can get put into a marketing budget that people have to understand the return on investment. You know, what's the cost of doing this? What's the cost per client or per patient that it costs you to do this? And then what's the revenue, on the other hand, that you make from that experience? So I think tracking is something that's incredibly important to know where things are coming from in this whole deal. Like, for example, SEO is generally something that's considered relatively free. It's content-based, for example, in many cases. Whereas something like reputation management is something you really have to work at. It's something you need to ask for, or perhaps the system, such as yours, can help out with that. And, of course, patient experience is something different. So for those that aren't aware of how to think of that business-wise and this idea of the revenue and the expenses and the net, how should they be thinking of that in terms of the money I need to put in versus the money that I get out? Because obviously you're not doing this just for fun. You're doing it to get a financial return, right?
Absolutely. And Dave, you're right. The financial aspects of it are very important. And one of the things that we've seen as we've gone out and built this platform, and when I talked earlier about the piecemeal strategy, the downside to the piecemeal strategy is that there really is no way for you to bring all of it together. You don't know if company A and company B and company C, which one's really driving the successful outcomes. So what we did was we actually built a dashboard that every one of our customers had easy access to. And you could actually go in and see how many visitors came to my website in the past 30 days, in the past 60 days, in the past 90 days, or since inception. We can go in and drill down on that, say how many people have come to my website and how many of those have converted into net new appointments. And from an ROI perspective, we can actually go in and plug in, this is exactly how much money you've paid us since you started working with PatientPop. And based off of some average figures that each of the providers will give us. So if we sat down and you said, hey, on average, I make $80 per appointment, or on average, I make $115 per appointment, we can plug those into our analytics engine, and you can go in on a regular basis and sit down and say, over the course of the last 30 days, I actually brought in 22 new patients. And just for the ease of math's sake here, let's just say it's $100. If for 22 patients I made $100 a piece, that's $2,200 in revenue that came in the door, and my spend with PatientPop was X. And so then based off of that, we actually formulate up what the return on investment is in a percentage of basis. So the physician and the office manager and anyone else who's involved in this decision, this ongoing process, can see this is the value that we're actually getting out of PatientPop. So you're right. The return on investment is extremely important. And what we have typically found is that going out and building creating and building a new online digital strategy definitely takes time. But we actually start seeing most of our customers see a clear return on their investment within the first 60 to 90 days after they go live.
And so with this, I have to imagine it can be hard to track sometimes, isn't it? I mean, SEO, how would you know if someone came from a search engine and then became a patient? What does that look like?
So great question, Dave. So the way that we've actually built out our product is that every one of our customers uses a website that we design on their behalf. We have a template library of about 20 to 25 different website designs. When I say template, I don't mean it's everything's there for you. It's design and layout templates that you would then work with a customer success manager to go in and build out what that looks like. Here's some professional photography that we've gotten done that we'd like to put on our website. Here's our logo, and here's our color schemes, things of that nature. And once you go live with that website, you'll notice on the front of every one of PatientPop's websites, we always have a very clear call to action. And a call to action is essentially, in a marketing term, is now that you've got me here, what next? So once we get someone from let's say they go out and they do a search on Google and they find their way to my website, the call to action is very clear. We want to convert that potential patient into a net new patient. So on the front page, we have a button that you can click that allows you to, if you click book online, it will pop up and show you the available time slots for that particular doctor or that particular location, depending on how it's set up, for the coming weeks. So if I came in today and said, hey, I'd like to come in to see a doctor on Thursday morning at 9 a.m., I can open up and do a search to see if there are appointment times on Thursday morning at 9 a.m. And if not, what are the other times that I can make work? So that's the way that by selecting that time and filling out a quick form, it sends that in as an appointment request for that particular practice. Conversely, in a lot of cases, people still like to use the phone and still want to pick up the phone and call someone. So we actually launch a new phone number for the practice that just redirects back to their old number. So nothing changes on your side as it pertains to your phone number. What we do is launch a new number, and we have that with a consistent message across the web. So anywhere someone finds you on the web will have this new number. When they click on it, it will redirect you to the original phone number of the practice with a prompt of, are you calling in to schedule an appointment? Click 1. If you click 1, are you a new or returning patient? Click 1 or 2. And once you click those, it kind of goes through this decision tree that allows us to track that and very easily point back to, hey, this month you had 22 new appointments, 22 new patients, and 14 of them came online, and 8 of them came from the phone. So that's kind of how we can track all of those things, and there's a lot that we do behind the scenes to ensure that those numbers are as accurate as possible.
So it really sounds like that through this new phone number, through people scheduling an appointment right online, that you guys can easily track and say, hey, X number came from here, X number came from there, so it's working or not working, depending upon the numbers.
Correct. And that's one of the really nice things about our dashboard is you can actually drill down and see specifically where they're coming from. Did these people find you through using a laptop at home? Did they find you from a mobile device? Because obviously, as all of us, most people listen to this, as you mentioned earlier, probably are plugged into their mobile device, listening to it through earbuds. There's an easy way for us to show whether they came from a mobile device, maybe from an iPad or from a home computer. We can show all of that information and be able to really easily, in a really easy to understand fashion, serve that up on our dashboard.
Well, and I have to imagine all this stuff takes at least some time to set up, right? I mean, it's not something that just takes an hour to do, to have all the systems set up and connect phone numbers and all this tracking and selecting and uploading logos and all that kind of stuff. And a busy physician, I imagine that could be a concern for them.
Right. It's definitely something that we hear a lot about. And so what we do is, and as part of our onboarding process, which today typically takes, our average onboarding process today is between 45 and 60 days. And a lot of that will, kind of the long pole in the tent for us is actually shifting where the website is hosted from their current platform over to ours. So as you know, if you're using say GoDaddy today, we will actually move the hosting from GoDaddy over to the PatientPop platform. The reason being, all of our customers are on the same platform. So when Google comes out with a search algorithm change, we can very easily push those changes out across all of our customers. So that typically takes a couple of weeks, and then as we go through, there's a design process, we get feedback, there's surveys that the new customer will complete, and it takes on average 45 to 60 days. However, in the past 2 months, we've been rolling out a process that we refer to as online in 29, and largely because there was nothing that rhymed with 30, but online in 29, where we'll actually have the practice commit to weekly meetings with us where our customer success and implementation managers will sit down with you whatever time it is, right? If it's every Friday afternoon at 4:30 once I've finished with my last patients, or maybe it's an office administrator who says, hey, every Thursday at lunch, let's do this from 12 until 12:45. And they commit to one meeting a week. And if they will do that and we'll work with them, to make sure that they have their new website, their updated web profile, everything they need from a search engine optimization perspective. We'll make sure that we have everything ready to go and served up and have them go live within a month from the time that they sign a contract. So that's something that we've just recently rolled out because, as you mentioned earlier, there's a lot of people who say, hey, I've got enough on my plate. I don't need you to add a bunch of additional things. Well, hey, let us help take some of this off your plate and let us work with you. We'll define the times. We'll give you the things that we need completed by each week, and then let's just hold each other accountable. So that's something that we've seen is very successful over the past 2 months.
Well, I suppose the carnival of that is this is that software as a service model that essentially you guys are helping out with all of these things, which is wonderful, but on the other hand, they're giving up some control at the same time too.
Right, and it's very clear. I mean, as we talked about earlier, most physicians are not interested in handling their own SEO strategy or in building out their own branding or in trying to ensure that they're identifying and recruiting the right types of patients, and rightly so. Quite frankly, I was a doctor about 3 months ago, and we started talking about patient pop, and he said, you know, I've been spending a little bit of time every Friday afternoon working on my SEO, and I said, why? And he said, because I want it to be done the right way. And I said, yeah, but wouldn't you rather see a couple of additional patients every week as opposed to spending time building out an SEO strategy for yourself and let a group of experts that have been doing this for years and years and years and have been wildly successful at it do that on your behalf? And the more we talked about it, the more he kind of turned the corner and he said, you know what? You're right. Well, why am I doing it? You're the expert at healthcare. You're the expert at visiting with patients, identifying issues, and working to resolve those issues. Let us be the experts in helping you get the right kind of people into your practice. So you're right. There is some relinquishment of control over some of the things that they're doing as it pertains to marketing and, quite frankly, to the business of their practice. But ultimately what we've found is that by them taking a step back and still having final say and still having veto rights and things of that nature as it pertains to the way their website looks and the things that we're looking for online and the types of search engine key phrases that we're building out on their behalf, with still having some of that control but letting an organization that's been successful at helping grow businesses and grow practices, really letting them take the driver's seat. We've seen that as a very successful business model, both for us and for the physicians utilizing our services.
Well, and certainly you guys aren't the only people that are doing this. There are some other companies, for example, ZocDoc and maybe some other competitors. So why don't you break it down a little bit in terms of how would you compare and contrast PatientPop versus ZocDoc and maybe some of the other competitors out there?
Yeah, so I think a lot of what we do that's very different than everyone else is the fact that we are an all-in-one technology platform. And what I mean by that is when I talked earlier about the piecemeal approach, we're replacing typically three or four or five different organizations. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of groups out there that we're still very complementary to. While ZocDoc we would consider a competitor in certain areas, in other areas we actually consider them complementary. And there are many of our customers who are still utilizing ZocDoc because it's a great patient acquisition tool. They're still utilizing that in parallel to utilizing the PatientPop platform. The real difference that I see from a perspective of ZocDoc versus PatientPop, one is that they are one component piecemeal strategy. But two, and I think more importantly, is at PatientPop, what we're doing is we're trying to help the practice build their own brand. And in order to build their own brand, we're going out and doing that on Google. We're helping them build a website. We're working with them on Yahoo and on Bing and all these web profiles. Whereas with ZocDoc, what they're doing is they're allowing you to be part of an online directory of physicians who have opted into their service. So the difference is PatientPop is behind the scenes. We're going to try to make Dr. Smith and Associates number one and front and center and help Dr. Smith and Associates build their brand. Whereas what ZocDoc is going to do is they're going to go out and say, hey, we're going to do marketing on your behalf, and we're going to not only market to doctors to help make sure that we've got a lot of doctors as part of our directory, we're also going to market to the consumer, and we're going to make sure that there's a lot of people navigating to our website and to our directory that will hopefully find you, doctor. So that's a very, very clear line of delineation between what we do and what ZocDoc does. And I would say, though, that as I mentioned earlier, that a lot of people say, well, hey, I'm having success with ZocDoc, and I'm seeing a positive ROI. So I'd like to continue to do that as we work with PatientPop to build out our own website and an online reputation and patient acquisition through Google and Bing and Yahoo. And we say, perfect, that's great. It means you're just going to continue to grow your business in an even better fashion. But what we do run into in a lot of cases, and where we typically see a lot of competition is in some of these local and regional ad agencies, for lack of a better term, and marketing companies that will go in and dedicate a resource or say, hey, we're going to give you this person and you're going to pay us X amount of dollars per year, and we're going to come in and handle all of this on your behalf. And while those strategies can be successful, what we typically see is we can outperform those local groups, one, because of economies of scale, because we have, you know, well over 1,300 providers in less than 2 years that are utilizing the PatientPop platform, and we can go out and look at the best practices. What works for this particular specialty in this geographical location? And let's try to plug that in over here. Whereas if I'm a regional ad agency that's working in the Twin Cities in Minnesota and I'm trying to build out a strategy just for someone locally, it might be a little more difficult because I don't have the same benchmarks and the same companies and results to compare as something that PatientPop does have. But what we will see in a lot of cases is because it is a technology platform that we offer, that's a really strong differentiator, that we can still automate and in a lot of cases reduce cost and reduce spend because we are automating those processes and procedures. Whereas if you're on a retainer with a local marketing agency, those guys will continue to bill you the same thing each month and month after month. And if you come back to them and say, hey, look, we really want to target a new type of procedure. We just purchased a laser at our office, and we want to go after these types of potential patients. Well, that's going to be a change in their strategy and will likely come with a change in their cost structure because it's new services they're having to offer you. With our customers, they pick up the phone and call their customer success manager and say, hey, we just bought this laser and we need you to build out a strategy for this type of patient, and we just add that to the SEO strategy. We add it to the key phrases. We add it to the terms that people are looking for, and we can help them create an ROI for that laser purchase.
So I think to your point, let me just to interrupt real quick just to point out something that I think is kind of key. You're talking earlier about the difference between ZocDoc and PatientPop, and one of the things that I believe to be true is when you have a search engine like a Google or a Bing through Microsoft or Yahoo, those companies typically have their own reviews. So Google reviews, Amazon reviews, whatever, wherever you're buying various products from. And so my experience has been that Google favors their own results over someone else's. So it's probably better to have your reputation management and all of that kind of stuff go in the places where the search engines are in the first place rather than a third-party software that may or may not show up in the future depending upon how badly Google dings them and slaps them across the face in the future. That good old Google slap we like to talk about if you're right. Marketing on Google and you're not Google because they decided to change their algorithm or Facebook or whatever. So I just wanted to insert that point in there, something that folks should be aware of. The other thing that might be good to talk about is in terms of the reputation management. So let's say I just had a patient that came in. They had an appointment. Maybe they made it through your platform, or they're referred to me from another physician. What's the process of collecting reviews from people so they can show up on Facebook and all these other platforms?
It's a very big component of our platform, and something that really helps drive the results online, right? So if we sit back and look at how can we help people build a better online reputation, and I'll give you a really easy example. We have a customer of ours out in Southern California, and about two and a half years ago, she made the decision to leave a big practice and go out and start on her own. And at the time, she had something around a 3.5-star rating, and she only had about 9 or 10 reviews online. And when she moved over to the PatientPop platform, she didn't have a website of her own at the time because she was part of a bigger organization. She goes out, we built her a website, and we said, what are the things that we can do to help drive positive reviews? Because as we talked about earlier, if I go out tonight and have a great dinner, I'm gonna walk out and say, man, that was a delicious dinner, but odds are I'm not going to pick up my phone and start to tweet about it and post online reviews on everything I can find. I just probably won't. But if I walked out and had an awful experience, there's a pretty good chance that I'm going to say, I need to warn people about this place. The psychology of it is very different, right? So we sat down and said, what if we could make it easier for people to post positive reviews online? And if there was a way that we could try to help practices understand any kind of negative feedback so they can improve themselves. So as part of our platform, when a patient leaves a visit, within 30 minutes to an hour after their visit, they get either a text message or an email, depending on their requested communication preferences. And it'll be a one-question survey. And that survey is easy enough to complete with just your thumb on your mobile device, or if you're doing it from your laptop, you can obviously complete it just as easily there. And the one question is, rate your experience 1 to 5 stars. And so if you select a positive review of 4 or 5 stars, you plug in a couple of sentences. I had a great experience with Dr. Smith today. He was prompt. He was professional. He spoke to me in a very kind manner. And ultimately, I walked out of there feeling much better about such and such issue. Or I felt better about my diagnosis, right? And I click submit. If it's a positive review, when they click submit, they're clicking through and saying, I'm okay with this being posted on the practice's website. So we post those onto the testimonials page on the website, not with the patient's full name, but just with their first name. And we post it onto the website, and then we actually prompt the patient with a real quick note that says, it pops up right there, it says, thank you so much for your positive feedback. If you have a minute, would you mind spreading the good word about us online? And based off of the practice's preferences, wherever they're trying to build their reputation, we have quick links to launch Facebook, Google+, Yelp, reputation.com, you name it, whatever it is that they want to have on the list there, the patient can very quickly and easily say, well, you know what, it was a great experience. I really like Dr. Smith. I'm going to click here on Facebook and post something real quick. So that's the way that we're helping drive positive reviews. And what we do in a situation, if someone has a negative experience, let's say they came in and they said, I had a 50-minute wait, finally a doctor came in and saw me, and I ended up missing an important lunch meeting because it ran so long, right? And so I get out, I get this text message that says, hey, Matt, would you mind completing a one-question survey? And I say, yeah, I sure will, because I'm really upset. I'm going to blast these guys, right? And I pull it up and I go, 1 star, 50-minute wait time, made me miss an important appointment, I'm upset, I click submit. What we do is we don't post that review onto the practice's website. We actually send it back into the practice and say, hey, Dr. Smith, did you know that Matt was here earlier today? But whether it goes to the doctor or to the office administrator, whoever it's set up as, right? But Dr. Smith, did you know that Matt was here today and he had a 50-minute wait time and he's really upset? You might want to reach out to him and see if you can smooth things over. And in a lot of cases, what happens is the office administrator finds out something that she didn't know because the people didn't come forward and complain about it while they were there. Or in some cases, they may pick up the phone and call and say, we really apologize about this. We want to make sure that you understand that your patronage is very important to us. The odds are, what we have found, is that in most cases, if someone posts a negative review through that manner, they're not going to go home, pull up their internet, and then go out and post a negative review online as well. So effectively, what we're doing is we're trying to create a feedback loop for negative feedback as opposed to promoting them to go post negative feedback online.
Well, let them air it out a little bit before they have a chance to hopefully do it on some of those other sites. So
exactly.
That's good. That's good. And it gives you a chance to address the problem too, whereas normally you may not have a chance to hear that feedback. So I think there's a couple great advantages there. Well, we're running out of time, Matt, and there's so much that we could cover here, you know, in terms of measuring ROI and costs and all that kind of stuff. But I think we'll cut to the chase here. Do you have any other closing thoughts? You know, thinking about physicians growing their practices, their current challenges that you think we should be aware of today.
Well, I think kind of the overarching theme of this entire thing is usually what we start with, right? And that's that the front door to your business has moved online. And the need for having a great online an online brand is a couple of things, right? And the points are, one, that we're now consumers. You know, because we're paying more and more money out of pocket for our healthcare expenses, we're no longer just patients, we are consumers. And you have to change your mentality and start thinking about your patients as consumers. And those consumers are expecting things very differently than they did a decade ago. A decade ago, if you had a $15 copay, you know what, no big deal. I had a 30-minute wait. I mean, I don't like it, but it cost me $15, and I ended up getting to feel a little bit better when I left. Today, if you've got a 30 or 45-minute wait, and then you get to the end and they say, hey, your visit was, you know, $175, well, I'm a consumer, and I'm going to be upset. So we've got to think about the shift to consumerism. We've got to think about how vital it is to have a solid online presence, because that first impression counts, right? It goes back to when I was a child, and my dad said, first impressions for businesses count. You've got to make sure you make a good one. And then ultimately, when we look at what the overarching theme of the whole thing is it's creating a better patient experience. Because ultimately, if you're trying to create a better patient experience, you're going to create repeat business. And what repeat business in healthcare does, repeat business, as we've shifted into value-based care, repeat business means better outcomes. And ultimately, when I think most physicians can track back to why they got into healthcare to begin with, most of them had an altruistic view as to what they're trying to do with their lives. Mm-hmm. I want to go out and help people. I want to find sick people and help make them feel better. And so ultimately, if we're trying to create better outcomes, the goal to that is creating a positive patient experience.
I hear you. No, I think that's great. And thank you so much for being with us, Matt. If people have more questions, how can they get in contact with you?
The best way to get a hold of me, Dave, is by email, matt.pierce, P-I-E-R-C-E, at patientpop.com.
More than anything, I just want to encourage everyone out there, you know, this is a tool to be used, and I think bottom line, the things that he brought up are the things you really want to think about. Online search, reputation management, patient experiences. You know, these are the keys to getting organic referrals and driving your practice and getting those productivity bonuses or increasing your practice to be able to add another physician. So I just want to encourage everyone to think about this tool. Think about other tools that can help you do this so that way you can grow and grow and grow your practice and get to be financially free. And let me just say, if you are a physician or you're someone else servicing physicians, you want to tell your story grappling with tough issues like these ones, I'd love to share it too in the next Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast. Make sure to contact me at dave@drfreedompodcast.com or on my website, www.drfreedompodcast.com. For the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, this is Dave Denniston. Thank you so much for joining us. And also, if you got some tremendous value from this podcast, I'd like to ask you a favor. Could you please take a quick minute, do a review on iTunes? It really helps the show and would mean a lot to me. So remember, my friends, make sure to cut your debt, cut your taxes, live a liberated lifestyle.